I'd like to go back to the story before we look at the message scripture today and just give you one more thought that I learned from that story, the children's story. I actually read it. I read the story, but I also listened to a little boy who recorded it and read the story on a video on YouTube, and he really inspired me. The way that he was reading the story, it really made it come alive, you know, and made me feel like, wow, this is really a delightful thing, and it made me feel good inside. And then I started thinking about the scripture that we're memorizing, and it occurred to me that we can learn these words instead of, you know, just trying to bring them into our heads, you know, and, you know, try to memorize them. In the normal way that we may be doing that, and try to imitate a child's voice, you know, do a little acting, have some fun with it, you know, like, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. That's the way the little boy was reading the story, you know. So maybe you can try that out. Do a little acting. Pretend like you're a little kid, you know, again, and you're enjoying God, enjoying the Word of God and practicing it that way. And maybe you could just do it alone in your own room, you know, somewhere, and if you're shy, and just try it out. And you say it with enthusiasm like a child would, like they're hearing something or saying something that they're so excited about. And it helped me. Maybe it'll help you too. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And it goes on from there. And there's many, many verses after that that are just as wonderful and filled with meaning for us if we open our Bibles and begin to memorize those words. May God bless that to our hearts. So today we actually, you know, the whole chapter 9 in John is talking about this amazing thing that occurred. Jesus walks by and sees a man blind from birth. All right, do you know anyone who's blind? I remember there was a boy in our school who used to walk home from school all on his own, using just a cane to tap his way. He was amazing. I can still see him doing that. I mean, he had a smile on his face. He was a joyful person who happened to be blind. But you would never have known it. He was, you know, he was able. He was, you know, just a really nice person. But for us, that, you know, this idea of blindness is just like a very, very unhappy thing, you know. And it must be for people not to be able to see what we see, but blind people are people that Jesus uses to teach us great things in life. And this is an example of one of those people. And it's an amazing story that teaches us not only about physical blindness, but about spiritual blindness. Do you remember last week we were learning about the Samaritan woman who is being taught a physical, you know, there's a physical meaning of water and drinking water and, you know, going to the well and carrying that water back with you and using it. And then Jesus comes and teaches her that there's actually a spiritual meaning in water that we drink. And it actually, you know, the fact that water nourishes our bodies. In fact, my wife is always telling me, you need to drink more water. And she's right, because when I do, I feel much better. It's the water is an amazingly important part of our lives, right? And so it's great that God uses something such as water to be able to tell us and teach us great things about Him, you know, and about life. And so that's what we're doing, is we're looking as we approach, you know, the meaning of Easter. We see these symbols of Jesus and who He is come out. This past week we learned in the lectionary that the rock, right, from which water was brought, right, there was this, Moses struck the rock and there was water that poured out to help the people to have water to drink in the wilderness. And Paul writes that Jesus is the rock. It's not just like he is like the rock that gives water to Moses, but he was actually the rock at that time and gave the water to Moses and the people of Israel to drink. And so this is the same Jesus that's here now. We're talking about who was born to Mary and grew to be a man. And he is teaching about that water that he gives that leads to eternal life. Right? So that you won't be thirsty anymore. Right? So when we're thirsty, we can start thinking about, wow, you know, I'm thirsty. I actually can learn from this. I need to drink water, but I also need Jesus. More important things, right? Like that. And so Jesus also uses blindness, right? Darkness. Darkness is blindness, right? This idea of that to show us a greater truth in life, that he is the light of the world. And that is what we hear in this story here. And so we can also think about darkness in that way, and this blindness, that we may not be physically blind like this, but we are spiritually blind in our sin, right? And we are going to be brought into the light through Jesus Christ in this story. We see that. So this story is one of the most amazing stories in all the Bible to me. It teaches us the way people are. I mean, it's very, very incredible what happens there. The way John brings it out and wants to bring this out is just so worth our time to read and to be a part of. And so we really want to feel privileged to look at this story together today, to see ourselves in it and also the world, you know, around us, and to see most of all that Jesus is so important for us. God is important in our lives, right? So he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now there is, you know, Jesus probably would tell us also that, you know, maybe sometimes sin in our lives can result in punishment, you know, with different things happening. But Jesus says to him, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." His blindness is to be used by God for a purpose, for his purpose. An amazing thing. It's not that the man sinned. He didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. His life is being used, not his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. See, there's a purpose in this blindness. "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." So that's a very deep statement there. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming when no one can work. And the night that is coming is the darkness of Jesus' death on the cross. Right? When there's going to be this deep dark, it's a dark time. It's that kind of an aspect. So we need to do the works of God. And so he is bringing this light into the world during that time when he's with them to teach them great things they need to know to be saved and to have eternal life. Okay? And so, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he's going to be shedding that light in this story and teaching us about it. "Having said these things, he spit on the ground and he made mud with the saliva." So he made some mud from the spit in his mouth and also the dust of the earth. "And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and says to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. And so he went and washed, and the man came back seeing." Think about that for a moment. Born from birth blind, and now he sees. What would he see? How could that be? I mean, imagine what it must be like suddenly to have sight when you had none, and you think that you're going to be that way your entire life. Crazy, right? But that's what happened. And this whole thing with the, just briefly to talk about this, because it does seem a bit strange, right? That saliva is mixed with the mud. But the point of this, Jesus was taking, some people feel that he was taking the dust of the earth because man is born. God created man from dust, right? From the dust of the earth. And he formed man. And so it could be that Jesus was making that connection to be able to put that on the man's face like that, but then to make him newly created by the washing away of this mud and the things there, which includes sin, and to make him new to see. It depends on how you interpret that, but the main emphasis is that Jesus heals him. Right? He applies that mud, and then the man goes, and he sends him to a pool called Sent. So Jesus is sent into the world, and then he sends the man to the pool to be healed, to wash away the mud from his eyes, and he gave him the healing in that way. Right. And so what happens next is very interesting. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And we don't hear from Jesus until the very end of the chapter. He's no longer there. And so I want to read to you some of the things that happened. I made some notes here just to save time because we can't read through all of the scripture up to the point for the last part. But I want to give you an idea of what happened here, and you can take it in, okay? So the neighbors and those who saw him as a beggar, he was a beggar, right? He was this blind person. They ask, "Is this the same guy? Looks like the same guy, but he can see, so is this the same guy?" And some said he was, and some said, "I'm not sure." But the man said, "I am the man." Okay, so that's a very important break. This is going to continue. Right? It's a very, very fascinating situation here. They're all doubting, and he said, "I am the man." But they still doubt. And they're thinking, "Really?" So they ask him, "Well, how were your eyes opened?" So he tells them, "A man named Jesus came, put mud on my eyes, sent me to the pool, I washed it away, and I could see." And that's the first time he tells it. But he's going to be asked again, right? So they inquire where Jesus was, and he says, "I don't know." So they take him to the Pharisees. They take the man who was just healed to go to see the leaders of the Jewish people. Now, it was the Sabbath when he was healed. And the Sabbath is a day when there was to be rest. And so the Pharisees are keen to this, and they're very, very, they're very rigid about it. They want to make sure that nothing is going to happen on the Sabbath that would have anything to do with work. And so they say to the man, "How did you receive your sight?" And he tells them. But the Pharisees say, "This man can't be from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. He was healing someone on the Sabbath, so he must be a sinner. It couldn't have been him. He must not have been able to do this." Others said, "How can a sinner do such a great thing like he just did, healing a man like that?" So they were divided. There was a division there was argument going on between them. Right? They ask, "What do you make of Jesus since he healed your eyes? Who do you think this man is?" And the man who was healed said, "He's a prophet." He's a prophet. Okay. Well, the Jews didn't believe that he had been blind and healed until they went to his parents. And they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind?" So they're not satisfied with this whole healing thing, and they want to investigate it more. They go to the parents of the man. They say, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" And they say, "This is our son, and he was born blind, yes. But ask him yourself how and by whom he was healed. He's old enough to speak for himself." But they said this out of the fear of the Jews, because the Jewish people were really against Jesus. The leaders hated him, and they didn't want Jesus around. And so they were scared, but they told him, "Go and ask our son." He can speak for himself. So then we go back to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees call for the man again, who is healed. And they say to him, give glory to God, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. Don't give glory to Jesus. Give glory to God, because he is God and Jesus is a sinner. And the man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. You follow it? I mean, this is amazing stuff, isn't it? To be able to hear this kind of a thing going on. And you picture what God is trying to say here. They ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? It's like you did something wrong, right? The man says, why are you bugging me? Do you want to become his disciple or something? And they got furious at that. We are disciples of Moses. We don't know where this man came from. But we know where Moses, you know, Moses was a man of God. And he was of God, but we don't know where this Jesus came from. And the man says, that is just amazing. You don't know where he came from, and yet he opened my eyes to see. If this man was not from God, he could not have opened my eyes. And what did they do to him? They kick him out of the temple. They disown him. And that's what happens here in this amazing story to in between until Jesus comes. And here's what happens. And he says, I'm going to find the man who is blind and see where he is. So that's where we pick up the story, okay? In verse 35, Jesus hears that they had cast him out. And having found him, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answers, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So Jesus goes after the man who had been healed by him. And he speaks to him about seeing. You follow that? Right? Do you believe in the Son of Man? And what he means by that is, do you believe in the one Son of God that was sent from heaven to earth as the Messiah to redeem mankind from sin? And he said, who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him. Now think about that. You have seen him. Why did he open his eyes? So that the works of God could be seen. Right? And so the man's eyes were opened, and he could see the Son of God before him, who healed him and gave him his sight. Why? So that he could believe. So that he would come to faith in God. Right? An amazing moment in his life. And what did the man do? He responded with faith, Lord, I believe. Master, I believe. I believe in you. And he worshiped him. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, isn't that beautiful? And what was happening on the other side? All of this chaos and distrust and he healed him, but it was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. You know, that's a day when you're supposed to do no work, and that was work. And he's, you know, so all of the healing was forgotten and pushed to the side. And eagerness going to try to even go to the point where they were saying, we don't even believe he was really blind from birth. And the parents are like, well, he was. And the guy's like, I was. I am the man, the same person that you saw begging and all these different things. And this man has to be from God. He was a prophet. I knew he wasn't just any normal person, because nobody has been able to do that before. And it happened for me. Right? I have had moments in my life, I can tell you honestly, I have had moments that I'm not proud of, where I have seen the power of God at work, and I have suppressed it. It's not recent, and I hope it never happens again, but there have been times in my life where I have held on to feelings of resentment towards other people who I see are getting the picture and want to know, and they hear the good news and they want to live as a Christian, and I back off because of my sin in my heart. It's the same kind of a thing. You hear, you see, it's very evident, and it's happening there. And yet we're going to be cold, we're going to be distant, we're not going to have anything to do with it. Ah, something happened in between me and them, and that's more important to me now than seeing that they see the light and they want to come to Christ. That might sound strange to you, but it's true. There is a sinfulness in mankind, there is a sinfulness that we possess that God deals with. And when we see Jesus, what are we going to do? And God is saying to us, believe, trust me, give me your life. Enjoy, rejoice, worship, fall down before God. Let go of all of your unbelief and your resistance, and let God have your life and bring sight to your eyes. How do you see God? How do you see Jesus now? God is saying, see me in the eyes of faith. See me for what I am. One who heals you, who brings restoration and good things into your life, into indeed forgiveness of sin. I cleanse you and make you new and give your life meaning unto eternity, so that what? We can worship him. We can glorify him. And that's what the man did. Worshiping God, seeing Jesus before us, and worshiping him. Jesus said at the end here, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. Right? So he brought the healing to this blind man, but Jesus is talking much more about other things besides just physical blindness. And those who see may become blind. He separates those who have faith and see and believe from those who in their blindness, right, think they see, but they really are blind. Because they don't want to humble themselves and admit, yes, Jesus is here. Jesus did come. Jesus is the Savior. We've seen what he can do. He's from God, and we believe in him. It doesn't matter what day it is anymore. Jesus is here. Right? So we let go of the things that hold us down and bind us in life to keep ourselves away from God, and we let go of those, and we come to Christ. Some of the Pharisees come by, and they heard him saying these things, and they said to him, so are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Right? And a lot of times people reject God. In all their blindness, they think that they see things much better, and they think they see everything, and they know everything, when in reality they're very blind, and they know nothing. Jesus calls us to himself and says, leave the way you were before behind. If you don't do that, you can't have me. You can't be with me. You need to let yourself go. You have to be done with that. You need me. I am the one who gives you light. I am the one who gives you water that is enduring into eternity from me. Right? These are the things that you will receive. You will receive healing that is for your spiritual blindness, so that you can see God, and then you really come alive. Why do I have those moments in my office alone looking for things for children? Because God wants them to know him. And it's the most exciting thing that any human being has in their life, the opportunity to take what you are, who you are, and to be able to give to others the things that the Holy Spirit gives to you to give to them. That is what life is about. The glory of God. To let go of those things where I was so stupid in my blindness before to say, I'm not going to take joy in this fact that this person is really excited about life as a Christian and Christianity because I'm holding a grudge against that person. Do you see how blind I was? But that's what we do in life. Time and again, we hold on to these other things that are keeping us from experiencing the holy God. And it's so frustrating when we see our loved ones or people that we care about and we really want to know him. And they say, no, I'm not going to do it. Why? I've heard that kind of a question being asked sometimes where people are like, it's so obvious. It's so obvious that there's great things in this. Why don't people want God? Why don't they want him? It's the greatest thing they could possibly have. And it's free. Come to the waters, right? Come to the waters. Without money, right? Isn't that the way it goes? Without money, it's free. It's the gift of life. So what's holding you back? If you know what I'm talking about, and if there's someone here who has been resisting and they feel that they're not experiencing that, which God really is wanting and desiring for you, I want to just urge you to pray and ask God to come into your life and to forgive you for your resistance and for all the things that you've been holding on to, the hurts in your life, the grudges that you're holding, the darkness, your sin, something that you've done, that you're not going to want to be exposed, have exposed. All of these things have to be brought into the open before God. It's the simplest thing in the world. Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you water that is enduring so that you'll never thirst again. And that is what God offers to each one of us. And that's what he offered this man here. And his answer is one that we want to take to heart. Lord, I believe. I worship you. So can you take those words today? Maybe you're going through a tough patch in your life too, and you've already experienced God. And you're holding something back, and you feel like, you know, you're not really, really experiencing the joy that he wants you to have. You can say that, Lord, I believe. I worship you. Take my life. Use my life. Take everything I have. I'm broken. I know that I'm a sinner. But Lord, I want to live for you. And he will forgive you. And he will restore you and give you that life that is greater than the life that we have without him. And so we can just say, Lord, I was blind. I don't know what I was doing. But I see you now. And I see myself as you do now. And I want to be who you see in me. Yeah? Amen? If you're struggling with something and you need to talk with someone, I'm here, but you know, I would love to talk with you. But if you need God, you can just actually come forward right now and you could just let us pray with you and you know, give yourself to God that way. You know, say, Lord, I see the error of my ways. I don't want to live the way I've been living anymore. I want you. I want to be forgiven. I want to be done with all the fighting that I've been doing against your spirit wanting to do good things inside of me. You know, you can just come forward. We're going to sing a song as a response. And you can just do that. And I want to be honest with you, some of the leaders, you know, we've been talking and stuff, and they know me, and I'm not very good at this part. Okay, I'm not very good at like extending that and having people come forward. You know, I'm just not, I don't feel like that's my gift, but I'm telling you honestly right now, if you do that, your life will be changed for good. And so you want to just give your life to Christ and be his disciple, his child. And so we're going to sing a song of response, and we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to move your hearts in whichever way you need to.